First thing to do is make sure I'm on. Am I on? Okay, good. I now know why Don is retiring. I do. I know why Don is retiring. That's because he has to follow this choir week after week after week when they bring the musical message. So I do understand, Don, because now I have to do what you have to do week after week after week. When I was sitting there waiting for my turn to get up and speak, I was thinking, boy, it's been a long time since I've had the opportunity to address the congregation. I can tell you the first time, which I will in a moment, but I cannot remember the last time that I was actually asked to preach. Now, that may be a good thing. You'll have to reach your own conclusions, but that may be a good thing. But it's been a while, and I do appreciate the opportunity I do have to speak to you. It may be a strange title. We have the title up here, Why Church? And you're thinking, well, we're going into Thanksgiving. Why is he talking about why church with a question mark? Shouldn't he be talking about perhaps Thanksgiving? New beginnings, celebrating Don's ministry with us. Should I be speaking about that? Should the topic be about that? So in talking with Don briefly about this, he says, well, whatever's on your heart. The problem is that, frankly, lately, I've been more tired than inspired. And so you're going to get why church as the sermon topic. And we'll just see, because when I created the topic, when I finally gave the church what the sermon topic was going to be, I asked myself, where are you going with this? You may ask the same when I'm done. But what I'm going to do is, first I'm going to give you a little bit of music to start, okay? And it is country music. We're going to play a country music song. And we've got it queued up, and I'm going to play this song for you. Stacy likes the song. Can you all hear it?
I've cursed on a Sunday. I've cheated and I've lied. I've fallen down from grace a few too many times, but I find holy redemption when I put this car in drive, roll the windows down and turn up the dial. Can I get a
We had a good start, but I didn't have a good place to end it. This is one of Karen's favorite songs. So if the sermon is bad, at least I've made a lot of brownie points with Karen. In fact, if we're out and someone performs this song, you would think we're at a tent revival. Karen's got her hands up. She's shaking back and forth. It's one of her favorite songs. I play this song not because it deals with church that we are in right now, but the song is about a woman, Maren Moore sings the song, who finds spiritual revival in a car, driving with the radio up. And I think when we're looking for God, trying to experience God, We can find God in a lot of different places. For example, some people will tell you they find God at the beach. When they look at the awe of the ocean, the power of the ocean, the serenity of the ocean, they find God there. Some people experience God in the mountains, at a lake. There are many places that you can experience God. Which leads to the first question, then why church? If you can experience God in all of these different places, why church? And I don't know whether you've ever had this experience or not, but if you've ever spoken with someone who will tell you that they're spiritual, but they're not religious, they're spiritual, and they find God in all these places, but they do not attend church. And sometimes it's very hard to explain to those people why church. Because it is true, you can find God in all those places. You can find God at the beach, you can find God in the woods, you can find God at a lake, you can find God everywhere. And so when you're trying to speak with people about why church is important, sometimes it's difficult to convey that. And so I just want to share a couple of things when I thought about trying to answer that question, why church? Well, one way to look at it is to view it from a personal perspective. All of you are here today. All of you have a church history. I'll share a little bit of mine because, as all of you probably know, my church history is in these walls. I started attending this church when I was 10 or 12. I really don't know, but I'm 66, so it's been a while. I've shared many experiences in this church. I mentioned that I don't remember the last time I spoke in church. I remember the first time I spoke in church. I was 18 years old, and I was asked to give, Lorraine, a stewardship moment. So I was an 18-year-old, just starting college, giving a stewardship moment. But of course, I have a lot more memories of this church. Karen and I were married here, right here, in 1980. By the way, the carpet was red, and the pews were gold. They were not blue. My children were baptized right here, except my grandchildren were baptized, and one's going to be baptized next week. I think Donovan was at the beach, though. I think Donovan was a little different. He wanted to be baptized at the beach. But the point is that my grandchildren are part of this church. Don mentioned something during his meditation before the prayer that hit home to me in connection with why you're part of a church and why it's important to be a part of a church. Now, we all know that in this church, we find healing, we find community, we find forgiveness. We have some place that we can go where we can be understood and we can be received unconditionally. And when Don was speaking in the meditation, he mentioned Thanksgiving. That took me back to 1971. In 1971, I think I can get through this. In 1971, my birth mother committed suicide right at Thanksgiving. Right at Thanksgiving. And I was 14 years old, and at that time, as a 14-year-old, I learned why church. This church, and it was Fred Woolsey at the time, was our pastor. He presided over my mother's funeral. This church came out, brought meals to us, supported us, loved us, helped my father, helped my brother and I. That experience alone would tell me why church. But you've all had that same experience sometime along the way, where you have seen this community, this body of Christ, this church support you. And so when I look at people that tell me they can experience God outside of the church, I understand that. But when they tell me, why do I need to be in church? You need to experience church to understand it. You need to be here through the highs and through the lows and to experience what it means to be a church family. And that's what we are. Lorraine will tell you, we are a family. Now, I won't get into any details I'm not supposed to get into in the search committee, but Lorraine reminds anyone we speak to, this is a family. And so when you're coming into this church, you are coming in to a family. And so I thought about answering that question from a personal perspective. Again, my history in this church, the ways that this church has supported me and supported my family. I mentioned that I was married here, so were Elizabeth and Brian. They met here in this church and were married here. I think the carpet had been changed by that time. I think we had the blue and not the red and the gold, which was quite a look back then. So I look at it from a personal perspective when I'm answering that question, but you know, we need to think a little bit broader than that, because what I'm talking about when I talk about my personal experience, I'm talking about a church, this church, First Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, West Palm Beach. But we're part of a much broader community. So when we're talking about church, we really have to think a little broader than First Christian Church, West Palm Beach. And when we ask that question, why church? We have to ask it broader. Why does this community need church? Why does this state need church? Why does this country need church? Why does this world need church? And I think you can all answer that, but just to highlight why the community, the state, the country, the world need church is you just have to look at what's going on outside. Don mentioned some of that in his opening prayer. We know what's going on in the world. We know how divisive this world is now, this country is now. We know the hatred that is out there. We know the social injustice that's out there. I was reminded of this recently. All of you, I'm sure, if you've kept up with the news, have heard about the anti-Semitism that has been occurring in this community. There are a group of people, and frankly, they're not even from here. They're from Louisiana. That's nothing against Louisiana. I'm just saying that they're not from here. They're based in Louisiana, at least the leader is, who right now is in the Palm Beach County Jail, and I'll tell you about that in a minute. But not for what he said, because we have a First Amendment, but for what he did. You may have read about them. They're going around with these pamphlets and these plastic bags, and they're throwing the bags on folks' lawn, okay? Now, what they say is protected by the First Amendment. They cannot be prosecuted for that. But I want you to understand what is in those bags beyond the rhetoric that is written on the pamphlet. They put in these bags barbecue pellets. Do you understand the significance of that to a member of the Jewish faith who has the Holocaust in their history? The level of hate that represents to be putting that on someone's yard. We had adoption day on Friday at the courthouse, and out front, one of these, I won't say what they are, but one of these people protected by the First Amendment, on adoption day, when people are coming into the courthouse to celebrate forever families being created, he's walking around outside wrapped in a Nazi flag. And frankly, again, he's protected by the First Amendment. He was not subject to arrest. We watched to make sure he didn't, you know, commit a crime. But that level of hate is in this world. And when we talk about why we need church, why we need the body of Christ, why we need a community who believes that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, who believes that all people are created equal, who believes that love, not hate, is what is most important in this world, that is why we need church. But all of you already know that. You know, it's easy to identify the need. It's really not where you experience God, it's where you walk with God. Most of you, I hope all of you, know Dr. Martin Luther King. If there's somebody here that doesn't know Dr. Martin Luther King, I just can't believe that. But everyone knows Dr. Martin Luther King. And the civil rights movement, the I Have a Dream speech on the Washington Mall. I hope most of you also know an individual by the name of John Lewis. John Lewis was 20 years old when he joined Martin Luther King. He went to seminary in Nashville, and he joined the peaceful movement for civil rights in this country in the 60s. He was arrested over 40 times. He was a part of the Freedom Riders. He was part of the march from Thelma to Montgomery. He was beaten unconscious by the police, fractured his skull. He later became a congressman and served for over 30 years in Congress. In one of his speeches, he said, "If not us, who? If not now, when? If not us, who? If not now, when?" Those same words were spoken 2,000 years earlier by a rabbi. Probably going to mispronounce his name, but it's been 2,000 years, so I'm sure they'll forgive me. Rabbi Hillel. He was a leader in the Jewish community at the time of Christ, actually, and lived during the time of Jesus' time. We don't know that the two ever met, according to the history I've read, but he challenged the Jewish people in the same way. If not us, who? If not now, when? As Christians, as members of First Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, West Palm Beach, those are questions that we have to ask ourselves. If not us, who? If not now, when? Every single candidate that we've spoken to through our search process has an opportunity to ask us some questions after we ask them questions. And again, Nicole, if I get into gray area, I don't think I'm going to cross any lines, but if I do, let me know. Maybe Lorraine can throw something at me if I get too far off track. Every single candidate that we speak to asks the following question: what are you doing in the community? Tell me what you're doing outside the walls of your church. And of course, we have a lot of things to tell them about. You know, we have the food pantry, adopt a family. We have plenty to speak of. But that's what they want to know. What are you doing outside of the walls of your church? What is your community outreach? That's important to everyone who considers becoming a leader in this church. And it should be important to us. I believe it is important to us, but it should be even more important to us. Because we can start asking ourselves questions like, if we are not going to replace tolerance, intolerance with tolerance, then who will and when? If we're not going to replace hate with love, who will and when? If we're not going to replace judgment with forgiveness, who will and when? I think the answer is fairly clear. The Great Commission. By the way, I had a hard time with the scripture. I couldn't figure out where I wanted to go with the scripture. So I'm not even sure it directly connects to the sermon, but this is what I came up with, all right? The Great Commission. Make disciples, baptize, and teach. That's what we're called to do by Jesus. And incumbent within that is to continue to ask that question of ourselves with respect to the injustices that are in the world. Don has been trying to tell us for 35 years why church. For 35 years, he has challenged us with that same thing. It's us, and it's now. It's us, and it's now. And we are empowered by God to answer that call. Because that's where it really gets tough. That's where it really gets tough. Because we know it's us, and we know it's now, but we don't always feel like we're equipped to do it. And Don has tried to tell us for 35 years, yes, you are. Yes, you are. We're facing a lot of challenges and opportunities moving forward into next year. And as we move through those experiences, as we face those challenges, as we look at those opportunities, we need to keep those questions in mind. Yes, it is us, and yes, it is now. And we have to be reminded of what Don has been telling us for 35 years. We are walking with God. We cannot fail. We cannot fail. We just have to step out on faith, keep those questions in mind. And I pray as we go into the next year that we continue to ask those questions of ourselves and we continue to answer those questions. When we ask those questions, if not us, who, and if not now, when, that we step up and say, it is us and it is now. I pray that as we move forward, we will keep that in mind, and with God's help, I know we can do it. Amen. Amen.